Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right. That was our official new introduction.
Yay. Yeah. Thank you to my daughter, Jennifer, who
Jennifer
put that together.
Great job. Great job.
And Scott Curtis.
Who did the Yeah. So that's, you know, only a few months in the making, but it was great. It was great. All right. We got a great show today, among other things. We got Kathy Barnett, a conservative African-American woman, wrote a great book, Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain. So that should be great. And, of course, we're brought to you by
ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Check it out every day. They've got a really interesting story, and we're trying to get them to come on maybe Friday, about the dark money that Hillary Clinton and Dems are pouring in to the GOP primary races in Colorado. Ballots have been sent out. So the primary is in June, and it's pretty interesting.
Colorado's for conservative, I think, values. I think it's his name.
Well,
of course,
like
it's a Rhino.
Yeah,
Dems trying to get Rhino Republicans elected, which is pretty
Dems rigging
normal.
That. Rigging the
you got to read
election.
That article.
Yeah, it's very good.
And it's just tremendous.
So wanted to talk about, I think, to launch out all kinds of stuff to go. I mean, but one of the things is there has been, it's almost like, should we even talk about it? Because you're like, it's so crazy. It'd be like saying, you know, hey, they have found, you know, Swiss cheese on the moon or something like that. And they're like, no, they haven't. Why would we talk about that? But there are a growing number of Democrats actually calling to defund the police. And if you guys want to weigh in on this, let me give you a phone number, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008.
And that includes in here in Denver, Chris
right.
Hines, who's a recently elected council member.
I mean, he's making Candy C. DeBaca look moderate, right?
Yeah,
I mean, the self-proclaimed communist in Denver City Council is like all of a sudden miss the voice of reason, it seems like.
Yeah, it's just amazing stuff. So what do you think about defunding the police? They don't disappear. Somebody doesn't disappear. You can have Sharia and clients, you'll have Black Panthers, you'll have vigilantes, you'll have somebody else, because the nature abhors a vacuum. So it isn't just going to be everybody's going to suddenly get along great. No more robberies, no more rapes, no more beatings.
Well, and then once again, let me give 888-627-6008 the number to weigh in. If you're joining us on Zoom, just go ahead and unmute yourself and pop up, and we can see you there, and we'll introduce you. You know, one of the things, though, Chuck, that's interesting to me, though, is what they're actually proposing. When you read some of the stuff that they're proposing, they're talking about local community anti-crime efforts, right? So in Minneapolis, they're talking about Sharia law in the Somali neighborhoods, right?
That'd be whether
fun.
You like it or not.
Yeah, if you're a white soccer mom, I don't think, you know, Sharia law doesn't really work for you.
Your outfit won't be correct.
Your outfit won't be correct. You can't drive, so how are you going to drive your kids around? And I imagine boys and girls can't play soccer together anymore. So that's some places. Other places, you know, again, they're not they're talking about creating, they being these Antifa thugs, the Black Lives Matters, these very progressive groups that want to do this. They will, number one, if they're rich enough, have their own security, like this LA City Council person.
Right.
But the other thing is they will create their own rules. This is what's going on. And this is so, what is the heck is going on in Seattle, right?
Antifa, it's been going on for a while in Seattle.
Right, but they've taken a 6-block square area, right? And they've declared that it is their area. They kicked the police literally packed up and left the precinct. Can you imagine what that must have done to police officers? It's like, you know, I mean, it's just insanity. And they're policing it there. They stormed City Hall. And what they want to do is, and this is they, I mean, the very progressive radical people like AOC, they want to make it so that you have like no rights, no freedoms, no freedom of speech in particular, no weapons on your own, no guns on your own.
Right.
They're the ones who are going to make all the rules.
Right.
And they're the ones. So it's not going to be, you know, a police with the system we have, imperfect as it is. And we've talked, there's several things that could be done, and in fact are being done, and even in Colorado, to address that. But if you get...
Well, the easy thing, it's not hard.
Right.
It is not hard. It hasn't been hard for 100 years. You defund the police union. The union is the one who makes part of their collective bargaining one that turns all of the thing almost impossible to get rid of a brutal cop. And so they remain, kept on being brutal. It's amazing. So anytime you have public sector unions, they're a disgrace. The teachers union, you can't get rid of a bad teacher. You can't reward a good teacher with union contracts. The bad remain. You can't get rid of them. They have their own tenure in their own way. So defund the police. No more police unions.
Right.
And of course, who do the police unions give money to?
Democrats. And then what happens, as I said here in Denver, then what happens is you have Mayor Hancock appoints police union hacks to the boards that
overturn any disciplinary action.
So that's easily fixed. I think the law that it looks like it's going to pass in Colorado.
It's going to pass easily.
Like for real.
It only had one dissenting vote.
Right. And it's going to eliminate to a certain extent, not completely, but the limited liability. I think that you could sue an officer for a certain percentage of whatever the award was, right? So for instance, if you sued the city and it was $1,000 jury award or settlement award, the officer would be liable for a certain percentage of it.
Is that how it was amended to?
Yes, that was my understanding of some of it.
That's a great idea.
I haven't seen, because it's still working its way, but also to make it a crime for police officers to not intervene or report other officers they see committing a crime, that will go a long way.
Yes.
We all know that it's hard reporting on your own colleagues no matter what business you're in, I think.
Yes.
But you need to make the pain of staying silent greater than the pain of speaking up. And that starts to change your culture. There's that. But this concept of getting rid of the police department and, you know, the Democrats will try to say, oh, like even the Denver Post trying to shill for all of this says, well, here's what that really means. And then you have other people who come out and say, no, I really mean defund the police department. Right. That's what we really mean. And Chris Hines is like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And we should get rid of the police department.
Right.
Here's what happened in Seattle, though. The Antifa people who took over and they've gotten rid of all the police in that little 6-block area. They're tweeting now, though, that they need people to come donate food because the homeless people stole all of theirs.
There you go.
Very well right now. Let's go to the phones. We have Jacob from Denver on line one. Hey,
Jacob. How you doing?
Hi. I hope you're well, too. What happens to all the homeowner policies if there's no police protection?
Oh, yeah.
Goes away.
You're liable, too, Jacob.
No, I mean, because I was looking at my policy the other day, and it seems that since I'm within 1 block of my fire hydrants, I get billed a certain amount. And I guess they're doing the same for police protection. If you have a certain amount of police protection, you're going to be covered for this amount. The second thing is, what liability company is ever going to protect a police officer if they don't have the backing of the city? If they're private now.
I'm not sure.
It's going to cost them thousands. If somebody complains and says, this police officer was bad to me, that means the police officer's got to go to court. He's got to pay all those fees.
Why
would anybody want to be a cop?
We'll get to that in a second, but my understanding of the way it would work is that, say you file a civil lawsuit against the city and the officer, right? The way it is right now, the officer doesn't...
I lost you guys.
Did you lose
us? I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Well, let me explain it, Jacob.
Jacob.
The way I understand it, no, it's not like anyone could just go file lawsuits willy-nilly against
He'll be covered by the city policy and the attorney and everything else, but he is going to be personally liable for percentage
of the award.
It
was a very small percent. It was like
1% or 2%. Those are great, and they should have been done 100 years ago.
Well, everybody else is liable. I'm the trial attorney's best friend these days.
Yeah, you are.
But what they need to do is they need to make city council members personally liable, too. If you're going to pass a sanctuary city law,
can't do that.
I know. Well, why not? You need to make
because there'd be no city councilman either.
Well, there would be a bad thing.
And then what do you get?
All
you
I'm
get somebody
saying,
else.
Is I think that. Police are a way to start. I think it should go further than that. I think, you know, if you pass a sanctuary city policy and because of your policy, somebody is released early from jail, right, on a no bond, they go out and they hurt somebody
That's not working.
Right, that's a whole separate argument. But the thing is there are things that can and are being done. And this concept of getting rid of the police department, it's insanity. So And they don't have any answers. I mean, they just said, well, we will create community-based anti-crime groups. And it's like, what, that's going to be, who's going to be on? Yeah, and that's just guess who's going to be on those. Yeah. Every wannabe killer slash cop slash criminal. Yeah. I mean, like you've talked about before, they kind of have that with the cartels,
right?
You know, in South America.
It's like family,
that's a community-based.
Yeah, and the Yucatan Peninsula, outside of the bigger cities and so forth, the only law was really your family group. You know, if somebody raped the daughter, they'd come get the guy, or the cartel. So you got your choice. You had enforcement, but you just didn't have a quote unquote neutral enforcement.
Well, exactly. And as bad as the police can be at times, and we've certainly seen.
Well, they don't have to be bad,
right?
You know, it is absolutely true that some huge percentage of police officers are great guys. They really are. The trouble is the bad ones have dominated because they're never dismissed.
Right.
Everything is done for them. Everything in the system through the unions, you know, in New York, like all the proceedings are secret. In other places here, they're not secret, but you know, try getting it through. And of course, the politicians have no desire to change anything because they're getting money from the police unions.
Right.
So these are changes that have been absolutely. And Westminster, its police department, its whole justice system is skewed to bring revenues in, and they've got their own little town city hall. They've got excess city prosecutors, too many judges, and the whole thing's obscene.
Right. And so you can rein all of that in and fix it. And I think the concept that, well, what's scary to me is that we've been talking about it, right? Who would have thought a few months ago we would be talking about getting rid of police departments and having to explain why that's a bad idea? It's like, you know, it's just human nature. And I think, again, you know, you just look at what's going on in Seattle and what is wrong with government leaders where you have essentially thugs, they're rioting and looting. They go into the Seattle precinct, right? They force the cops, well, the leaders tell the cops to leave rather than say, defend your police department. Right? Just go ahead and leave and let them do whatever they want. Like we saw that at ICE when the Aurora Police Department were told to stand down ransacked the ICE and they burned the American flag. You know, you can't do that. There's no place where they're going to stop. How much pushback
are you getting? I don't see anybody on the Denver City Council saying no. Chris Hines is nuts.
I will give that Mayor Hancock did. Mayor Hancock did say, I don't think abolishing the police department is a good idea. But that's only
because they gave him a lot of money.
Let's take the side of the cops here for a second. I mean, because I've been getting texts and pictures and, you know, stuff from the cops. And the Mayor Hancock sent, if I can get in my text, I read it, this ridiculous letter saying we all must come together in our grief and our pain. And the cops and me saying, what? What are they talking about? You know? And they're talking about the grief and the pain that the cops are causing, right? And
right. And
if you're a police officer right now, and I will say this, because like you said, most of them
great guys
are good. The bad ones, it's just a handful.
But just as you many times point out, if you have 100 robberies, not 100 robbers, you got 5 robbers doing 20 each. You have police brutality. You have, you know, a handful, but they don't ever get rid of them.
No.
And they have they can continue their little reign of terror whenever they want. And Chauvin just happened to do his reign of terror at the wrong place when somebody had a camera.
Right. And here's what is so scary to me about this is, again, because we are having a legitimate discussion, because you've got Denver City Council members saying, yeah, we should get rid of the police department. You've got Antifa thugs that have taken over a central area in downtown Seattle. They're armed, according to people who have tried to get in. They're not allowing the media, police, anybody in, right? So how long do you think before they've already complained the homeless people stole all their food, so they need more.
Go home,
people.
I mean,
it's funny, but it's kind of like, and here's the thing, crime is going to get worse, I guarantee you. Number one, we've seen in Colorado, in Denver, in the Denver metropolitan area, the George Soros-backed efforts to eliminate any kind of bail. If you get arrested for something, if it's carjacking, say, right, the fact that you have that you've even been arrested with warrants outstanding, right, that you've committed other carjackings, you've been released on bond, they release you automatically in a personal recognizance bond. Like, oh yeah, you're going to show back up in court, right? You have people who are committing crimes, getting out, turning right around and committing crimes. I did a series of stories on this when I was at Fox. I was stunned to find out, what, you know, I would call that the courts and say, well, how many of the people commit crimes while they're out on a person of recognizance bond? They said, well, we don't track that. I'm like, no, what do you mean you don't track that? What do you mean you don't, how do you tell if it's working? And I'm like, we don't care if it's working. We just don't track that. So you've got that kind of stuff going on. Crime has increased. We've seen in Chicago, they had the most violent night in terms of murders and gunfire than they've
ever had. And that's a lot. If you get the most violent night, that's not easy to break in Chicago. 60,
I think, people shot, 18 people murdered.
64, yeah, 64 people shot. 18
murdered. And I'm just, if you're a cop right now, I mean, are you even doing anything, right? I mean, police officers are being attacked. Right. And I can't blame them, right? If you're a cop and you get a call, you know, it's like, are you going to race and I'm going to be the first one there? It's a scary time for cops. That makes it scary for all of us too. And I don't know.
But I don't see any pushback. No. I don't see Republican senators or Democratic moderates or anything else pushing back. I mean, I don't see it.
You see Trump.
Well, that was interesting, you know, because another one of their great ideas is that you can't have any fort named for a Confederate, like Fort Bragg or Fort Hood, and there Fort Lee.
Lee, I would have guessed, but I wouldn't have even.
Well, I knew.
I know, but probably a lot of people don't go, oh, my God, that's a Confederate.
Well, who cares? I mean, right. You know, the whole point is that we had a civil war and then we had a reconciliation and we had a country come back. And that's the whole Lincoln's thing. We're not here to punish everybody, strip them of all their property. They could have, and they could have said, okay. But General Petraeus, he's aptly named, said all those Confederates were all traitors, and they therefore they shouldn't have their name on anything, and that he's a guy who was thrown off being CIA because he'd taken
push-up contest with his mistress or something.
Well, no, he had taken he wasn't Hillary Clinton, so he had taken classified
emails,
material to his house, and that was considered a crime, and therefore they, I think it was an FBI guy who got him, so I think it's part of that interagency warfare.
Right.
But then after that, the present Secretary of Defense, Mr. Esper, who was the one who said, you know, Trump shouldn't have had the troops ready and everything else.
In D.C.
He and the Secretary of the Army said, yeah, you know, that's, you know, in spirit of reconciliation, we'll consider
just
that and
so
that forth.
Guy.
And Trump, to his credit, said, we will not consider it. No, we won't, Mr. Secretary of Defense.
Mr. Secretary, soon to be former Secretary of Defense.
Well, it was a big article, and, you know, he wanted to fire him. But everybody goes, no, not an election year.
You know,
just fire him.
Back to the situation in Seattle, and even, you know, you look at what's going on, and I think it is fair to call that a caliphate, right? It is a group of people who have an ideology at odds with a lot of the other people around.
I don't know what caliphate means. Caliphate means successor, and that's literally what it means. And
okay, well, I'm talking about the
successor to the Prophet Muhammad.
But they have created their own caliphate, right?
Where they set own the little thing, yeah.
Right? They set the rules. It's my understanding that like 500 residences, residential homes, in that little
you
six
like to be happy
area.
Then?
Well, yeah, they aren't letting cops in, right? So what if something happens?
How are they not letting cops in?
The cops are. Here's the thing: the cops are agreeing. The cops are being complicit because of the city leaders. I mean, I don't know what you do if you're the police chief in Seattle when you've got the mayor telling you, "Look, we're going to abolish you," actually, and he's like, "What about these calls for service? We're getting the 911 calls in this area for." Forget about those, but they want to create, they being these Antifa thugs and the Black Lives Matter, and now you've got all these massive corporations in there, discovered guilt over everything, contributing even more money.
All
to
right,
that.
Well, let's go to the phones. We got Barney on line one. Hey, Barney.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Julie. Hey, the guy that answers your phone, he's about a trip and a half, isn't he? I still don't know his name. But
there's Don and there's Doug, and there's a new guy. So
there's Don and there's Doug, and they sound exactly that. You cannot
twin
possibly
brothers, yeah.
they're fraternal twins, but you can't tell their voices are. There may be some difference in how they pronounce some word, but you'd have to ask them to determine the difference.
Well, they're both funny, and Chuck, you said it. There's no pushback.
No.
You actually got down on your knees in front of protesters, and you think that'll help them. I mean, I know there's plenty of men out there that could drop me to my knees, but
right.
I ain't going to my knee for anybody. It ain't happening.
No.
That's just that is so. Go ahead, Julie.
I was going to say, I think this is my prediction. That's going to replace the whole mask thing, right? It's like everybody in their union, the universe is going to be forced to take a knee and to kneel down or something, because it is ridiculous. You look at the people who are doing it. And again, they create these little rules, these thugs. And if you don't follow the rules, and they destroy you, you know, who would.
The one I liked the best, that had everybody down, including Nancy Pelosi with her little African scarves and so forth, except Nadler. Nadler literally could not get down. He could not. Well, so they had to have him standing up there.
You know,
it was great.
And our producer just typed, it's so subservient to kneel before another. It is, you know, it's Barney. It's like, you know, I take a lot of my cues from like Star Trek and, you know, Marvel movies. And you remember in the Avengers movie where Loki, the bad guy, is towering above everybody saying, kneel, kneel, and everybody kneels. And then one elderly guy with a German accent stands up and he goes, I will not kneel. And he said, it won't kneel to a man like you. And Loki says, there is no man like me. And the guy says, there are always men like you. I mean, that's a heroic moment, and that's what we're facing. We need somebody to stand up and say, I am not kneeling before a bunch of protesters and rioters. It's just the fact that we're even here, Brian.
Not even it's just like with a butt kisser. The butt kisser is one thing, but the guy that likes his butt kissed.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, that's really the, I don't know. It is what it is, I guess, but I don't think they're going to give their cities up.
No.
You know, liberals say, and they talk a lot of things, but I don't think the cops are going anywhere, because they know, you know, they know us conservatives, we all tend to have our guns, and we ain't giving them up. And you know,
well, that's why you'd be okay in the suburbs.
Yeah, but what, nobody?
Well, absolutely.
Here's on the positive side of all this, as scary as it is to think about what they're trying to do to the country, I think this is going to help Trump in the long run. I think that
absolutely, absolutely. Just like I don't know, one of the hacks was saying, you know, go back to Nixon when liberals went off the charts and, you know, no law and order. Now people, and even the people, even the blacks in the poor neighborhoods,
they
know that they're screwed. You know, right. They are screwed. If you're going to leave it up to tribes to take care of somebody.
Right.
Oh yeah, you're going to have the Black Panthers, the Black Panthers that can't even put a scope on a rifle. The correct way.
Well, I mean, we'll have the Crips and the Bloods. We already know. I mean, I remember covering the Summer of Violence in Denver, right? You know, in the 80s, it's like, we already know what it looks like when you let the so-called tribes or the gangs be the community policing people. It's not very pretty at all.
You know, going back to you, that Esprit guy, I'm sorry, just because you're an Army general doesn't mean that you're not whacked in the head.
Mattis,
you guys are McChrystal,
right.
The guy's a clown. The guy comes out and tells us, oh, we need to take the AR-15s. He says, have you seen what that AR-15 round will do to you? I got news for you, McChrystal. Almost every home that's on there has a 30-06 in the gun cabinet. Have you ever seen what a 30-06 would do to a human body? The guy is just an ass clown. So are most of these generals are. All you have to do to be a great general, I guess, in this day and age, is to just kiss butt, because you go right to the top.
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, the way before is that you excel at battles, you excel at war. But when there's not very many wars, most of the time, it's just like Colin Powell. Colin Powell was just a butt kisser. I mean, that's all he ever was.
Exactly.
And it still is. Yeah. And it still is.
Let's keep in mind, when these people are all butthurt about the Confederacy and the Confederate names in there. By the way, I think Robert E. Lee might have been the only decent man. I know he was a killer and a cutthroat, but compared to some of the Northern generals, Ulysses Grant was a bum. He was an alcoholic. He was a drunk. And by the way, you do know Arlington Cemetery. You know whose property that was?
Lee's.
Before the Confederates.
It was Lee's.
Yeah, Robert E. Lee's. Yeah. So you guys are all butthurt about your Confederate names and that property, which is probably, you could say, the most sacred ground in the country. That's Robert E. Lee's property.
Yeah.
You guys yanked it. Used to be, I know. But I'm just saying, it's like, it just kills me that they get so wrapped up in the name thing. But I'll tell you right now, these generals, these army generals, that's really the problem with the Army anyway. You got all these butt kissers up top, and you know they can't, they literally kill themselves to get up there. Yeah, you guys are the problem. And Trump, this is going to help Trump, because we are not, you know, most of, like I said, there's plenty of men that could drop me to my knees, but you are not going to tell me to go to my knee. I don't care how stupid, I don't care how petty you think it would be, I'm not going to my knee, buddy. It ain't happening.
There you go.
I agree, Barney. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Barney. Take care.
888-627-6008. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom, just go ahead and unmute or bring yourself up. You know, one of the things, this is why I think it will help Trump, because it's just going crazy too far. I think Trump took a hit in the polls, right?
Yeah.
Between the coronavirus and the riots. I think that's just in part, I think Trump probably added some fuel to the fire himself, but he gets blamed for stuff anyway. But I think though, when it turns around and all of a sudden now there are real conversations going on, real decisions. The Michigan's governor said she wants to get rid of the police, right? Abolish the police. And if you're-
They just approved her recall petition. So we'll see if they can get the vote.
Yeah. And if you're kind of like not paying a lot of attention, but you're just kind of running your kids around or you're, you know, busy going to work or you're doing that. You're like, wait, you want to get rid of the police? You know, I mean, who's going to chase drunk drivers? Who's going to, you know, call when I have a burglar prowler? And like, you think that the people are not going to be burglars?
Get rid of 911.
You know, and the thing is, it's even more scary though, too, is we were joking about this, but it's not funny really. So that now we can't watch Gone with the Wind. That's bad. That's gone. And wasn't the woman, the young woman in there, she was the first African-American person to win.
She wasn't young. She played a maid. You know,
right. Yeah.
Parrot. She's like big.
It was a story.
Well, it has
the Civil War. You got to talk about
it
slaves.
It has a romanticized view of slavery and the Civil War, but you know, all kinds of movies have romanticized views of all kinds of things.
You know,
and if you know every picture, you can that was a romanticized version of the Revolutionary War. Well, of course, it was.
The fact that the movie exists doesn't mean that it condones it.
But you came out with some good ones, Julie.
Yeah, this is cracking me up. Somebody was tweeting too that McGruff, the crime dog, you know,
he's got to go.
And the Paw Patrol, if people out there have kids or grandkids, the Paw Patrol, which is a popular kids cartoon, they've all been sent to a re-education camp.
Oh, yeah,
and it's funny, but it's not funny, because they had an ESPN guy got fired for saying all lives matter. Now, what on earth would make, look what they did to Drew Brees. He's like in his a millionth apology now.
And he's got his wife apologizing.
Then
I think UCLA, they had a professor who they said, well, we don't want to take our exams. The black students, black students should be exempt from exams.
Just black students,
everybody else. And they said, well, you know, Martin Luther King wouldn't approve of that. Bam, he's suspended.
And the thing is they're going to make it, and this is what they try to do with the social media. They try to make it where you're shamed, where they terrorize you, where they try to destroy you, and they want to shut you up. And it is so important. I think that's why I'm kind of disappointed in some of the Republican leadership. I know we're not, you know, we swore off criticizing Cory Gardner constantly, but it's like, where's Cory Gardner? And this Ken Buck at least is standing saying, this is not a good idea to get rid of police departments. Oh, we can fix the problem without doing
Cory
that.
Cory Gardner saying, I brought 12 masks to Colorado.
Well, and then on top of that, he said, and I have just approved the outdoor camping law or whatever it is. It's like, yay.
Yeah.
But I mean, what about the crisis that the country is in right now? Mm. And he's not saying anything. You need people like that to stand up and say, I'm not going to take a knee. We're not going to get rid of the police
department.
In
his defense, if that would be correct, Hickenlooper's destroying himself. I mean, he did a debate yesterday. Was just awful. His thing for the Ethics Commission. If we didn't have mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting, I think Hickenlooper would be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have ballot harvesting.
Do you think he's going to beat Andrew Romanoff? Just an aside.
Yeah.
Well, I think though, I think when you listen back to the overall thing, when you listen to Tucker Carlson, I think these are, to me anyway, I don't get angry that much. You get angry and shout at the TV a lot. I usually don't, but I am angry now. And I think that there is an angry, silent majority out there that is just trying to live their life, just trying to, like I said, you know, get the kids to school without any kind of freaking summer camps this summer, right? It's a nightmare trying to get your kids around, find something for them to do. You're just trying to make it by. And all of a sudden you're looking and you're being told you got to take a knee. You're being told you can't watch Gone with the Wind. All of these things that we have
well,
that
when,
make
when
this
are you,
country
when,
great.
When are you going to get mad then? I mean, we're waiting.
Well, I'm mad about it because before, you know, I'd be like, well, it's just politics. It's not all that, you know, I didn't take it personally, but this, I guess, is the way to say it, right? This I am taking personally now. And it's been kind of growing with the constant attacks on Trump. They're trying to overthrow the president from the very beginning. They're telling you what I can and cannot say. And if I say something they don't like, they try to destroy you and they try to destroy us. And then stupid Mayor Hancock, based on stupid Fauci, which we all knew were rules, has destroyed my summer, right? I mean, and now I'm getting angry. Now I'm getting around that.
All right.
It's
Kathy. Well, that's our new guest.
It's
Kathy Barnett. We're pleased to have with us. She's the author of a book, Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative in America. And she's also running for Congress in the 4th District of Pennsylvania. Kathy, great to have you on.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about your book a little bit, and then we'll go into everything else going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, well, my book is very reflective. It almost reads like prophecy relative to what we're contending with today. It's my journey of leaving what I've always called the Democrat plantation and beginning to think for myself. You know, like most Black people, I was born into the Democrat Party, just like I was born into brown skin. As growing up, I never heard any conversations about why we vote Democrat. It's just what you do. You're Black, you vote Democrat. No one has any conversations about it. And it really wasn't until I was a junior in college and decided I wanted to get more involved in a political campaign and went to the office of a Democrat's office to volunteer my time, did the thought hit me for the very first time, do you even know what he believes? Do you even know if what he believes matches what you believe? That thought had never occurred to me before, and it was a very uncomfortable thought initially to have, but it was the seed that was planted that would cause me to start looking around my own community, around the world around me, and begin to just see things for what it was, and to begin to really think clearly about why I'm voting a particular way and taking ownership of examining. So the book kind of goes through, you know, my own personal story of growing up very impoverished, and then walking through what I just explained a few moments ago, and then just kind of analyzing each of these narratives that were told on a daily basis.
Right.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think about Candace Owens has been fighting a pretty brutal fight?
Be any easier for you.
Yeah, it's got to be a similar kind of thing for you, right?
Yeah, you know, before there was a Candace Owens, there's always been a Kathy Barnett.
Exactly.
That Candace, you know, Candace has her lane that she is operating in. And God bless her in that movement. And then here am I. And, you know, so going from living it out for multiple decades now, my own self, writing a book that came out and went number one on Amazon 2 months in a row, to now running for Congress. So I'm walking this out. My love for my nation, my love for for the Black community, and appreciation for the history of not just Black America, but all of America, and doing my part in that.
Well, right. Tell us about the race in the 4th District. Are you going through a primary, or
had my primary last Tuesday, and of course, I am the first Black person to ever run for Congress. In my district, is the second wealthiest district in the state of Pennsylvania, and it abuts Philadelphia, so it's like the suburbs to Philadelphia, so a pretty affluent area. And my campaign as a Black conservative woman running on the GOP ticket was not supposed to have a snowball chance in Hades of getting remotely close in votes to the uber progressive incumbent. And yet not only did we match her in votes at the polls, but our campaign showed that we can carry the Republican ticket. And that's exactly what we did.
Wow.
That's great.
Who
is the Democrat?
I'm very excited. And now this is me operating, my campaign operating on a shoestring of a budget. We have not had one fundraiser, because as soon as we started ramping up with the fundraiser, COVID-19 hit.
Right.
Where can people send you money?
Across the nation and talking to people.
Where could people send you money?
Oh, I love that question. It's one of my favorites. It is KathyBarnettForCongress.com. KathyBarnettForCongress.com. I was listening to a little bit of what you guys are talking about before I came on. I mean, and like never before, you know, I mean, we always say this election matters most. This is the most defining election. No, people, this is the most defining election.
I agree.
I mean, Democrats are doing half of my job for me and making it very clear to people what kind of America you're going to wake up to November 4th and going forward.
They're making
it very clear of what the distinction is that they're offering. I'm currently reading through their new policing bill, and it reads very similar, the tone of it reads very similar to the bill they passed in January, the new way forward immigration bill. We all know that that there's some work to be done, whether in the policing, whether at the border or immigration laws. But everything from the Democrats' perspective is being geared towards the other side, right? And not for the majority of Americans, right? Like, like what is the benefit for the majority of America? It's reading very, very, very negative, very angry, even as I'm reading this their new policing bill. Very interesting.
What about, let me ask you this. I mean, here in Denver, we were talking a little bit earlier that there are now city council members in Denver that say they want to abolish the police department. What's going on in Pennsylvania? And what's your take on
Philadelphia?
What's your take on all that?
Philadelphia. Yeah, you know, listen, that is so stupid. And, you know, I mean, and as a Black person, right? I mean, if all of this that they're doing, all of this angst and anxiety that white liberals are doing right now, primarily being led by white liberals, and Black people scattered along the way, but primarily being led. I mean, it's all of this emotion and commotion that they're doing is because they want me as a Black person to feel safer. It's been a colossal failure. I do not feel any safer. And when you defund the police or you abolish the police department or you do anything to minimize the police force, it would be Black and brown people. It would be the minorities. It would be those who feel marginalized, those who live in underserved communities that will suffer the most. There's a reason why there's a greater presence of police in those particular neighborhoods. So they generally carry with them a greater amount of crime. And if you now think that the solution is to, I don't know, have community servants who walk around with little stars and stickers that they put on people, and that is going to make people, you know, feel better. You're listening to the rhetoric of this Uber left talking about defunding and demolishing the police, and then you ask them, well, what are you going to replace it with? They use fluffy language like, oh, we're going to reimagine. Reimagine. That's foolishness. This nation is the greatest nation that has ever existed because it was founded on the greatest political document ever written, the U.S. Constitution. And the U.S. Constitution is about law and order, about law and order. And right now, law and order is being flipped up on its ear because now emotions have a direct pipeline to law. And when that happens in any civilization, we are in trouble. Our liberties are about to be completely infringed. They already did a trial run on infringing upon our First Amendment with COVID-19. Even when the dire threat of COVID-19 was subsiding, they continued to infringe upon it. That was just a dry run of what they're going to do.
Right. Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I think that there is a plan, there is organization to it. I think now you have all of these corporations are pledging, you know, your local lawn care guy I was reading is, you know, pledging now to donate money to Black Lives Matter. And I think
to remember what Black Lives Matter is all about. David Doren, the 77-year-old former chief of police who was shot in the face, had his funeral today. No one is talking about that. Where is Black Lives Matter for him?
Right. What about for Chicago? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, even during Memorial Day, when, you know, what happened to George Floyd, which no one has ever tried to defend. It was horrible what happened to him. But on that same day in Chicago, 49 people were shot. 49 people were shot, black-on-black crime, 9 of whom died. No one talks about that. So Black Lives Matter is very selective in determining which lives exactly
matter. Which black lives
matter. Yes.
And all lives don't matter, it seems.
Ask you about that. Your governor there, Governor Wolf, is kind of crazy, and I guess the legislature is trying to say that his proclamation's over with, and he's going, no, you can't do that.
The emergency declaration.
So, you know, I mean, of course, because of the feckless, incompetent leader that he is, he will try to fight against it, and it will, you know, carry up to the Supreme Court here, but the Supreme Court will probably sign with him. Who knows? Thing is that people need to wake up. We have been very comfortable in this nation, and the things that have transpired should have made all of us feel very uncomfortable right now.
I was saying right before he came on, it's starting to make me angry too, that some of the
stuff. There's a lot to be angry about.
Exactly.
I'm driving around, and there's, you know, I mean, in my suburban, well-to-do neighborhood, and here are, you know, white women standing on the side with signs talking about Black Lives Matter, and I'm wanting to pull over. Yeah. I don't need to tell them. I don't need you to tell me that my life matters.
Yeah,
right. I know my life matters. But what's being done now is a false narrative, and it's being used to manipulate the masses and to utterly redefine this country. And if you're not angry about what's going on in this nation, you need to check your pulse, because you might be dead. Now is the time to realize that something's awry, and everything that we have been told is not adding up.
No.
Well, we're talking with Kathy Barnett. She wrote a great book, Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain. It was a top seller on Amazon, Being Black and Conservative in America. And she's running the 4th Congressional District in Pennsylvania, I guess a wealthy suburb of Philadelphia, and she won her primary and taking it to the Dems, I guess.
Well, and let me piggyback on that and just a few more questions.
Who was the prior incumbent?
Her name is Madeline Dean. She goes by the nickname Mad, and she's mad about all the wrong things. She sat on the Judiciary Committee that impeached our duly elected president, and that I believe should be held negligent for distracting the nation because they knew about COVID-19 while they were impeaching him. But instead of allowing the nation to know that and allowing him to put his focus on what he needs to do, they continue to proceed with this sham of an impeachment, knowing that there was no proof. Now we're finding out that many people knew what was going on, and that this whole Russia collusion and impeachment was a farce. Knew it, and yet they continued to distract the nation during what they said was a pandemic that needed to shut down the entire nation.
Yeah, it was. Well, you know, one thing, let me ask you this, because I'm sure you guys are paying attention. To a certain extent, you know, how well Donald Trump does can be reflective of how well maybe you can do. I kind of think that all of this talk about, you know, getting rid of the police and the riots and thing, not the protests, but the riots, I think all of that's going to be helpful to Republicans running for office in this coming election.
I mean, how can it not? Again, like I said, Democrats are doing half of my job for me and making the distinction very clear for people. And honestly, if Americans vote for this foolishness, I'm just going to pack up. I don't know if I'll pack up and leave like they threatened to do, but I think I would just enjoy.
Where do we get to go?
for the few years that I can, because they're going to utterly destroy this nation. I think it's just, I try not to practice hyperboles and being, you know, conspiracy theories, but we're seeing they're not hiding what it is they intend to do.
No, that's the best part. No, there's no sugarcoating. There's no kind of Obama, you know, hope and change. No, they're going,
it's like about
here we are, you know, thanks and all.
Exactly who they are. We need to believe them. Right.
We need to believe them
when they tell us who they are and what they intend to do. And if Americans don't see it, and there are Americans who don't see it, and you just want to yeah. I mean, like what can you do when you meet someone who's talking about Donald Trump is evil and Donald Trump is this? And I mean, it seems so plain to the overwhelming majority of us, but there's a segment in our country it is not plain to.
Well, what is your fam? What is your?
Off, but it's so great talking to you.
Oh, okay. Hey, all right, Kathy.
Thank you so much.
Great to talk to you. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Kathy Barnett there. Nothing to lose. Everything to gain.
Being black, conservative in America. Right. She's great.
Yeah, she is very good. Well, and back to the, she's right. So I'm glad I'm angry because you have.
Oh, there you go.
And let me, 303, keep giving that number, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008 is the number if you want to call in. Also, you can go to chuckandjulie.com. That'll give you a link to BBS Radio. If you want to come in on Zoom, then we can see you and hear you if you want to chime in on that. You know, back to the maybe talk a little internal politics. I think it is interesting. We're seeing in Colorado, and Colorado Citizen Press has a great article out on this, dark money, money that kind of is connected to the Clintons and some of their foundations, the dark money coming in to primary races in Colorado, Republican primary races. The Democrats, that's interesting that they're trying to influence them. You got to wonder, because like if you said, given all the ballot harvesting, given the, you know, some of the polls, you wouldn't think that the Democrats would be that worried about the election in Colorado. But I'm wondering if the fact that they're pouring millions of dollars in.
Seems strange. I mean, it really seems strange.
You got to wonder.
It really seems strange.
If there's something, maybe there's more hope than maybe we think.
Well, they're not pouring it into Democratic races. They're pouring it into Republican
races.
Primary races. So, you know, if they lose, they figure, what the hell? We'll just have a rhino and that won't be bad. That's amazing. They give hundreds of thousands of dollars to rhinos in Colorado. I mean, you know, maybe Friday we'll talk a lot more with it with
Patrick Neville, because they kind of
Neville.
House Minority Report. Hey, do you want to tell folks it's a good time to take a quick break, let folks know about Synergenics?
Yeah, Synergenics is a wonderful program headed up by Julie McCallum. It's a full MD in which is to get you back to the healthiest you can be. Age is just a number, but how you feel. If you feel great, well, then you know, whatever age it is, you know, it's too old. No matter what age it is, it's too old. And then once you get past about 15, but it's an amazing process. She'll give you a free consultation. You can call her up directly, and she'll bring you in for no cost and explain the entire program to you. And they do testing, they do hormones, they do vitamins, they give exercise programs, they give everything to make your life as energetic and happy as you could possibly have. So you'll want to give them a call at 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681. That's Synergenics, Cenegenics.
So let me ask you, Chuck, where do you think the anti-police push is going to go? The abolished police, because you do seem to have some politicians. The mob, I think, is pushing this. And I guess what I'm wondering is who's pushing the mob? Or is it organic, which I agree with Kathy for a second, believe. But every time you have a politician, they say defund the police. And then they try to back that off and say, well, that means we're going to reimagine it. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then you have the pushback on the part of the progressive saying, no, we mean defund the police. We mean abolish the police. You know, there was a guy in Breitbart, Nolte, had a column and he said, you know, do it. You know, let the Democrat cities burn if you have to. And the trouble I have with that is, you know, if you live in a suburb, which pretty much everybody does, so if they abolish the police in Denver, right, that it's not like the criminals go, oh, we're going outside, you know, right on this side of Sheridan, we can't, you know, we're outside of Denver. If they abolish the police in Denver, then it affects the rest of us here too, whether you live in Denver or not. I mean, do you think does it go somewhere? Would the developers call Hancock in and say, knock us off about abolishing the police? Or what do you think?
I'm sure they are calling up saying, can't you stop this? But I don't know. You know, I think it's in part just the Democratic madness. You know, I don't think it's necessarily somebody calling up Chris Hines and saying, get rid of it. It's the idea of whoever is the most radical is the best.
Right.
Whoever is the most extreme is the best. You know, if Candy C. DeBaca is for communism, you know, next person is for anarchism. And, you know, just get rid of the entire state apparatus. And I think that's part of the Democratic Party today. To be the most extreme is to be the most popular and the most sought after, to be a moderate in the Democratic Party. Does that exist? I mean,
well, we saw what happened to Hickenlooper, right? I mean, but here's, we were talking about this the other night. My theory is too, is there is also a lot of silent anger in the, some of the,
I don't see it.
Well, let me just finish, in the Democrat base, where that was what Bernie Sanders was about, right? And I think the Democrat establishment think they tapped that down when they got Bernie Sanders out of the race, but instead it's kind of like scooched over here, and now it's in riots and looting in Antifa, and this whole defund the police has become completely radical, right? And I don't know, I'm hopeful that they can't get it under control, right? Because this is more, it's not just like one or two candidates, right? It's not anymore John Hickenlooper being booted out for saying that he doesn't support, or that he does support capitalism, right?
Right,
it's,
right.
I mean, that's nothing compared to abolish the police, right?
Right, right?
My concern though is they do have, the Democrat philosophy is win at any cost, right? I mean, we've had our friend Ted Tripa talk about that. They want to win. And if they got to ride that horse, I'm afraid that they're going to, at a certain point, just say, okay, let's just jump on it and see where it takes
you
it.
You know, one of the things that's beneath the waves and stuff is the fact that Trump is considering doing drastically scaling back visas, and particularly visas for educated, college-educated ones. I mean, part of the thing is, if you graduate from a school today, and I said, you got no jobs. Why do you have no jobs? Because the big corporations are filling it up with millions from India, from around Pakistan, or anywhere else in the world. And the fact that that should be a booming economy for college graduates, not because of visa program.
And yet, why are they mad at Trump?
Why are they mad at Trump?
Well, but I mean, Trump is, no, why, the, but these are the same
Nobody
young people.
Really realizes what the U.S. corporations are doing to them.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I don't think in my life U.S. corporations have been so treacherous and awful. I mean, they want cheap labor. They don't want to pay graduate. And they say, well, we can't get enough Americans to do it. BS.
You pay them a little better,
If you offered it, you know, good salaries for engineering, guys, you'd have thousands of them. And so I'm really hoping he's the only one. Honestly, the only one that saves us from...
Well, because again, you're absolutely right, because the one force that controls more than the mob is the Uniparty, right? The global corporations who want the cheap labor, they want access to all markets. You know, that's why to me, it cracks me up. So we got banned. I put a post
by
Facebook, right? Facebook.
We got banned again?
Facebook, well, they more than banned us. They labeled us fake news.
Oh, good, good.
I had posted the Conservative Treehouse video of, it's that guy from Buffalo, right? Who the cops ended up knocking over. The cops, I think, shouldn't have knocked him over. That was bad.
Right.
And I agree he was hurt. But he clearly had a cell phone. You can see in some of the video, he's clearly trying to scan the police officer's communication devices, him. So then they can use that to...
You're in trouble now.
I know.
You got us in trouble, so I did it.
And I was outraged. It's like, Facebook, this is what they said. They said, if I keep sharing false information, They will continue to censor us, and they'll prohibit us from posting anything, and they are going to label us as false information. And first of all, I'm like, it's not false information. It's true. It's totally true. It's not false, you morons. And then, but you've got people like Mark Zuckerberg who are secretly running the world, right?
Yeah,
they're secretly.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, he does, you know, all the Facebook workers.
You got to watch out what you're posting there, Julie. I mean, that's the president liked it, so they hate it. I mean.
And that's exactly what happened, Chuck, because I posted way more controversial stuff than that. It wasn't until Trump commented on it that they hated him.
And
you're absolutely right, though, that people like that, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, who has not one, but two safe house bunkers, right? You know, those people are for abolishing the police. They don't have to worry. They just go in their little safe house and they've got their security guards. It's the rest of us who do. And like you said, the word does not get out that you have these college students who are angry, and I don't blame them, but get rid
of
these corporations that are not giving them well-paying jobs.
And well, you got to get rid of the visas.
Right.
You can't just say we can't find anybody, so we'll hire them for a fifth of what we'd otherwise pay from India. Disney does it and all.
The other thing, now I'm getting even more angry. So what else does the Colorado legislature do? Oh, they all virtue signal about how we have to close down the economy, and thank you, Governor Polis, for destroying it.
Yeah.
And now what they're doing is they're talking about skyrocketing your property taxes.
Right, the Gallagher
man. They want to increase taxes on businesses.
Well,
Patty
Calhoun, who at one time owned Westward, put an article on what the disastrous effects of Gallagher would be. And she was forced
censored
and taken off there. I mean,
the other thing they want to do, having destroyed the economy, right? They want to put another fee on that, whatever it would raise the average premium for your average family in Colorado, $450.
For what?
A fee, just a fee, because they don't have enough money. It's like the hospital provider fee, now they're not putting on hospitals because they're all broke. They're putting it on us. So it is unbelievable. And that I don't know. I think Kathy's right. Hopefully people will wake up.
Kathy
hopefully.
Was great.
Yeah, she was. Great. Hopefully people are starting to wake up, and hopefully people are saying, you know, I don't think these organizations, these people, these rioters, I don't think they have my best interest at heart.
Oh, yes,
I don't think politicians who want to get rid of the police department, right, have my best interest at heart. And I'm telling you right now, they don't. They're not on your side. There you go.
There you go. They're not on your side. Hey, I thought they were the whole time.
No, you're kind. You know, that I think that'll kind of wrap us up. I want to let folks know, once again, I really appreciate everybody who subscribes to us on YouTube. We so appreciate that.
We do.
Go to chuckandjulie.com. You can get all of the podcasts, the links to everything there to sign up and subscribe. On Friday, we'll have Patrick Neville talking about the Minority Report. Who knows? Every day you wake up and you're like, you don't think it can get any crazier.
No, that can't be. We'll try to discuss this whole funding under Colorado constitutional conservatives.
Where's the dark money coming in?
And so that'll be in which races. We'll talk about specific races coming up, so you can make sure you don't vote for their candidates.
That's right. And meanwhile, thank you to ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Thanks to everyone who called in and listening. And thank you to our great guys at BBS Radio. And we will see you on
Party Friday.
Party Friday.